Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome to this episode of Heart Conviction Podcast. I am here with maybe the most exciting guest I could have. This is my close friend, fellow believer, fellow pastor, missionary, and visionary, might I even say fellow pilgrim on the old dusty of serving Jesus. I introduce to you Larry D. Howard. Hi, Larry.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I got big news for you. I have an announcement between you and I.
Okay.
We have just officially had our unannounced 20-year friendship anniversary. We've been friends for 20 years.
Isn't that crazy?
When we started talking about this, I was like thinking, how long have we been friends? And
yeah,
I started calculating it. And I was like, wait a second. It's our anniversary.
It's our anniversary.
When we were like, I think I was 19 and you were in your early 20s.
Yeah, it was 2005,
23.
Yeah.
We ran kind of in the same circle for a while and had a really close knit group of friends that were all Christians, all serving the Lord. And were we not probably like the funnest group you could have hoped for?
You know what? In the fact that you even said funnest makes that even more valid. Yes, we were the funnest crew ever.
So I'm going to rate this episode. I give everybody a little idea of what the episode's going to look like. And I'm going to call this episode inspirational. And there ain't a chance that we're going to talk without talking about the Lord. So it's going to be a spiritual episode too.
For sure. For sure.
Let me tell you my favorite memory of you and I before we begin, okay?
Okay.
We are both camp. You do know where I'm going with those camp counselors at church camp.
I think I know exactly where you're about to go. And if you don't, I'm going to go there. So go ahead.
Well, do you want to even just set the scene of what a different dynamic our church was at the camp we were at?
We might as well. Let's bring them into context. Give them context. So, from what I can recall, at least from the event that I think you're talking about, is was it Impact? Is that what the name of that camp was? Yeah, Impact Camp, right? And so we were getting ready. Are you talking about the skit that we were getting ready to do?
You know it.
Oh my goodness.
You know it. And Larry and I, first of all, this was a prominently established camp. Years before our church was involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, the previous churches that participated were, what would you say?
Reserved.
From the maybe stuffier ends of town?
A little bit, yeah.
And then our church comes in and we weren't. We'll just say we weren't.
It came from a place with no pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their cars actually breathe.
And the kids got to write these skits. What do they call that? Like
sketches or something?
Yeah,
maybe?
Like a little skit for the service that night.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And they got to write it. They got to write the skit, and then we were just like the leaders, and we were really at their mercy. We were like, "We'll do whatever you want. You guys tell us what our role is." You know, sometimes we would be like an angel or whatever, and they. To us, they get to you and I, and they're like, okay, perfect. Nina and Larry. They're like, okay. They're like, you're married. And we're like, oh, okay. Like, me and Larry get to be married for a skit. Can't wait.
Oh my gosh. Like,
dearly beloved, do you take Larry to be your husband for this skit? I do.
Funny.
And they were like, okay, the song's going to start. And they're like acting out like a scene to these songs. Like they pick the song and then... And they're like, all right. And then you are the abusive husband. And then you're just going to absolutely whack her and backhand her. the beginning of the song. And you're going to fall on the floor out of abuse.
Oh, my God. Talk about inciting trauma.
and we're like dying laughing, and they were pretty set on that, and I think we did it right.
We definitely did it. Oh yeah, there was no not doing it. we definitely did it.
What the stereotype, like,
oh my gosh. Too many areas, too many corners. No, we can't. Let's move on.
It was so funny.
It was, though, man. You looked at me like, really? I don't know, man. I've always wanted to be an actor. So I think it was just like I really committed to that role in that moment. I don't know what Academy Award I was going to win that I thought, but.
I feel like we got them to back down a little bit. Like, I think we were like, okay, what if he like snatches us up and like yells at us? Like, do we have to immediately start with full blown assault?
Right.
I think that's
I think it was interesting though, with it being me playing that character, is because I'm so nonviolent.
Yeah.
That like I haven't been in a fight since I was 12 years old, like at all. Like I've never fought an adult, like ever. And so it's like, me and like fighting or being abusive or anything like that is so like anti me that it was just like irony at its finest. Like,
you know, like the nicest guy on the planet.
Like, who you paid him? It was like, who is the director here?
It was so fun. But that's my favorite memory of you and I together. And the way
probably one of mine too.
Yeah.
That and the Christmas party.
Yeah, we used to have these killer Christmas parties where we would all like cook and dress up and go see Santa at the mall. We were all like in our early 20s and just wholesome. We were not just so wholesome.
We were just big kids, man. Like, just we weren't trying to bother nobody. We weren't trying to mess up nothing. We just out just trying to be alive and saved.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Trying not to backslide.
Exactly. Like, man, let us get it.
And I'm just proud of our friendship because it's so easy to drift away from people and time to get in between you. And it's so easy to just like not communicate anymore and then feel awkward about reaching out. But you and I have always circled back around no matter what.
Yeah. And I just think it's a real testament to authenticity, you know. Mm-hmm. As Judge Judy would say, if you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. You know, and so I equate that to just relationships in general.
Yeah.
Interactions, communication, like be present.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like some of the people that I connect with the most are those like yourself, really, that when I'm talking to you, I don't think you're thinking about something else.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
thanks. Yeah, I would hope you'd think that.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you are in the room with me.
Wow.
You know, like the presence is there. And so when that happens, I think one of my biggest messages is one on empathy.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that's one that Christ exemplified.
Mm-hmm.
Paul echoed it as well. He said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew to reach the Jews. To Gentiles, I became as a Gentile to reach the Gentiles. To one under the law, although I wasn't under the law, I became as one, or I spoke as one under the law, as to reach some. You know, I became all things to all people that I might win some for the sake of the gospel. So when we substitute the sake of the gospel for the sake of authenticity or the sake of friendship or the sake of connection, it all starts with being genuine, you know what I mean? And being present and being attentive. And so I really, that's probably one of my biggest takeaways from our friendship / brotherhood, sisterhood. Is, like I said, the authenticity behind it. Like, you, even when we didn't always agree, which wasn't very often, but even in those moments that, you know, I was being in my flesh or whatever, like, you never hesitated to call me on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we discussed kind of in casual conversation earlier today, like, people don't always like know how to receive correction or even reproof, which reproof is just mild correction. It's not even a rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people can't even take mild readjustment. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, I think it's because we want to be right so bad.
What is that? What is that? Like, come on. Well, what I think is cool about your and I's friendship too is I can genuinely say you are one of the only people, I'll say, that has consistently, I guess I shouldn't say only, but strongly, consistently not only kept your faith, but continued to pursue Christ despite anything that's happened, and then took leadership roles. You and I were both youth pastors at the same time. You and I were both going through relationship things at the same time, you know, whatever, marriages and breakups.
Yeah.
And we were both always keeping God at the forefront. And that's hard. Even if you have friends who are believers, they're not always still pursuing to be like disciples. I think they'll sometimes just stay a little dormant, or, you know, whatever, just be mild. But you and I are both, I would say, forerunners, I would think, in our discipleshiphood, right?
Well, I would like to hope so.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
At the end of the day, well, at the beginning and the end of the day, we're human, you know, and I say that cautiously, only because we new age a lot of stuff nowadays, right? And it becomes more of a universal thought than an actual truth.
Right.
You know, when it comes to like how we view not just society, but even ourselves, God, like our perspectives are becoming jaded because of so many opinions, right? And
so true.
So I stand on Romans 3:4, and hopefully I'm not rabbit trailing, but Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and let every man be a lie.
Hmm.
And when it comes to like us wanting to be right, you know, or not wanting to be corrected, I believe that we attach a lot of our decision making with our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that emotions are terrible leaders, right? Because they're inconsistent. It's inconsistent.
That's so
like
good. That's
they
so
change
good.
Every 5 to 15 minutes, your emotions are going to change.
Yeah.
Like, as much as we struggle getting onto this podcast, my frustration was reaching a level like, you know, Anita Bear, we might have to do this at some other time, getting ahead. And then it started working. And then guess what happened? My emotion changed.
Right.
You know, and now I'm excited. Now I'm ready to move forward. And that's where a lot of our issues are, is that we're either lacking direction, or we're lacking confidence, or support. You know what I mean? Like there's some sort of factor that comes into play that I personally believe stagnates us, but it really gets down to the foundation that is Luciferian worship. It's the same thing that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven.
Right.
It's so much pride that you attempt to exalt yourself above the one that gave you what you're proud about.
So what fruit of the spirit, I've been really big on the fruit of the spirit these past couple of years. What fruit of the spirit would emotion, like controlling your emotions, fall? Self-control, right?
Self-control, temperance.
Yeah. Yes.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's so good. What don't you think it's like a milestone in your walk with God too, to be at a place where you're able to say, this is what my emotions are saying, but this is what Christ says I am to do. That's a milestone,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I love the way that you put that together, because one thing that I would say that I've personally worked on, let's say past 5 years, we'll go 5 years safely, is empathy, right? And really... Come into a place to where it's not about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's hard to do sometimes because you're with you all day, every day.
That's right.
You know? It's hard.
Because y'all are hanging out.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to ignore who you're always around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to like, I'm trying to really think of what, because there's so many points that we could hit in this section alone.
Oh yeah,
that it's one of those things to where. Well, let's talk about the fruit of love, for instance.
Yeah,
one thing that I don't hear taught a lot is that the fruit of the spirit is one fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I came to this understanding, or at least this perception, when I read Galatians 5:22-23, you'll see that it starts, it says, "For we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, meekness, and self-control. Mm-hmm. Against us there is no law."
Did you guys sing that song when you were a kid about the fruit of the Spirit?
I actually did not.
The fruit of the spirit's not a... You can pick the fruit. What do you want to pick?
Orange.
An orange. The fruit of the spirit's not an orange. If you want to be an orange, you might as well hear it. It can't be a fruit of the spirit. The fruit is love, joy, peace. It was so good.
It sounded like it's Father Abraham.
Do you think they ripped off Father Abraham?
I almost sure they did, yes.
Father Abraham writers sue Fruit of the Spirit people now, because it's just now realized. I've been thinking about the Fruit of the Spirit too, because I think a lot of Christians genuinely struggle with many of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I don't know that we should be necessarily striving for the fruit of the spirits, because I don't think it's working. I know pastors and leaders and elders who struggle with probably all of them. And what I think we need to do is get right with the Lord and really let him correct our heart. And then I think you will see his presence in our life, in our fruit. And I think being in the word, close to him, and taking scripture by scripture and living it. And then the fruit of doing that is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I've been really, the Lord's been speaking that to me and saying, hey, you know, when you see this person that is a pastor, but not loving at home, it's actually because he doesn't know me. And I think that those verses of you're either hot or you're cold, or I'll spit you out of my mouth, I think it applies to that. I think that's what lukewarm is. Okay, so before we go on anymore, because I want people to take you, go ahead. You want to say it? Go ahead.
I wanted to tap in on that real quick.
Yeah, please.
Because, well, for one, I'm going to hit the fruit of the spirit part, and I'm going to touch that lukewarm statement real quick. So the fruit of the spirit is love.
Yeah.
And then there's like a semicolon there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would show a separation. and then a list, right? Mm-hmm. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, mm-hmm. joy, peace, patience, goodness, so on and so forth, right? You look at John 15, verse 11, I'm going to say, I believe it's 11 or 12, I want to say it's 11. Jesus said, these words I speak to you, that my joy might be in you, mm-hmm. and that your joy might be made full. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, he says, if you do my words and keep my commandments, you abide in my love, as I do my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. So he talked about abiding in him. And then earlier in that chapter, John 15, is talking about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. Any branch in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Any branch in him that does bear fruit, he prunes it or he purges it, mm-hmm. so that it bears more fruit. Right. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
So the reality is this. Matthew 12, 33, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Now, you talked about orange. We talked about orange in that song with the song, right?
Yeah.
An apple tree is not going to have oranges on it.
Right.
Right? Ever. Nor is an apple tree going to have apples and oranges on it. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's only going to be one fruit per tree. So when he says, abide in me and let my words abide in you, he also said in Mark 4:14 that the sower sows the word. So if we're building a tree, what are we building a tree with? Mm-hmm. We're building a tree with seeds. What are the seeds? Words, right? So when we plant the seeds, we build the tree.
Right.
So what fruit are we expecting to come on that particular tree?
Yeah.
In this particular tree, it's the fruit of love, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So then why did he say, I say all this to you so that my joy might be in you and that your joy will be made full? Mm-hmm. So let's look at the fruit of love being an actual fruit. So if we take an orange, right, mm-hmm. we have the fruit of an orange. What do we typically do when we have a cold? We typically take vitamin C, right? Mm-hmm. What fruit do we know is most popular for having vitamin C?
The good old orange.
And orange, right?
Yeah.
So I give you this orange so that this vitamin C will be in you and your vitamin C will be made full. Because when your vitamin C is made full, guess what goes away? The cold. So when we have knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, guess what goes away? The ignorance of who he is. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. you see what I'm saying? So going to the lukewarm thing.
Yeah.
I actually learned this, and I think this is kind of been, I don't think it's been taught erroneously intentionally. I just think people were ignorant to the facts.
Yeah.
But what the reference to the hot and cold water is not intended to be in reference to someone's commitment to salvation. Mm-hmm. It's either be hot or cold, because lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because the context of that time, water came from two different places. Mm-hmm. There was one, I can't remember the cities, but from one city, hot water came from. And they had aqueducts that they, or, you know, pipes and tubes that they had to channel water, hot water that was used for cooking, bathing, and one other thing. I can't recall what it was. But the hot water came from there. And then there's another city where cold water comes from. And they use that for, I guess, whatever the other things that they would use water for. But during the travel from one location to the next, the water would either cool down coming from the hot spring, mm-hmm. or it would warm up coming from the cold spring. But because of that temperature, it caused parasites and things to come into the water, and the water cannot be used.
Interesting.
So he says, I would rather you either be hot or cold, because I can use those, but lukewarm, I can't. Right? So if we aren't committed to being used by God for his purpose,
right,
then we're just as useful as lukewarm water.
Wow. It's really good. It's really, really good. Yeah, you're right. That scripture can be applied at so many things. And
yeah,
it's also like what parts of the Bible you choose to live out of.
Yeah.
You know, kind of cherry picking the Bible. Okay. So before we go on, I don't want people sitting here thinking you're just a douchebag that felt like
okay,
felt like you should wear sunglasses to show up to this podcast.
Because
I want them to receive from you. You know, I want them. If they're watching the video of this, Larry's sitting here looking as cool as can be in sunglasses.
Yeah.
And I think if they are going to judge, they're going to be like, who does this guy think he is wearing his stunner shades to this little old measly podcast?
My gosh, it's outdoors. Hey, lucky I ain't put my hat on. Take what you can get.
But you have a testimony that is so rare and so incredible, and I mean this, I'm not giving this to you as just a platitude. To talk to you and hear you talk through this, I don't even know what to call it, this, I don't want to call it something generic like a journey, this valley, this pure valley that you went through, every step of the season of it with you has been nothing but just encouraging. Beyond that, it has edified my spirit. And you and I have spoke through every season, and I remember the beginning of your journey and the middle of it and all throughout of it. And it is, oh man, to hear you have things presented to you and watch you persevere and choose God over and over and over again, you hands down impacted my walk with God. Hands down impacted me. So why don't you go ahead and tell a little bit about why you're wearing sunglasses and how that happened.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I will condense this as best as I can.
Yeah.
I lost my eyesight in November of 2016. So here in a couple months will be 9 years. Mm-hmm. And it actually happened suddenly. I was going to say it's not something I would wish on my worst enemy, but I really honestly can't say that because.
Yeah, how bad's the enemy?
I mean, that kidding. Part, but you know, overall though, no, seriously, like.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I get it. No, it's okay. But you know, I wouldn't wish that on them because of how, well, I'm trying to think of, Lord, help me say this. I gained so much by losing.
Wow.
It's almost like I'm glad I went blind.
Mm. To find blessing in hardship is like crux of Christianity.
Listen, I mean,
that's what we're striving for. To where
absolutely.
You almost rejoice in it. I know what you're talking about. Where you're like, am I thankful? Like, what?
Yeah. It's almost like it hurts so bad it feels good.
Talk like, about perspective. Because how easy would it have been for you to get bitter? I mean, truly.
Very easy.
That's right.
Very. I mean, especially when I explain like how it happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so October the 3rd of 2016, I had a cataract procedure performed on my left eye. Mm-hmm. My right eye already had a detached retina that was held in place by silicone oil. So I technically had light detection, but I couldn't see out of it. Mm-hmm.
And to be clear, for your entire life up to this point, you had full eyesight.
Correct.
Yeah. When you and I were friends, you know, all that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or we're still friends, but like in our prime.
So, yeah, for sure.
Well, still right. there. Yeah.
Yes. You did not meet me blind.
No.
Yes. So, yeah, I had a cataract procedure performed. I was seeing 2200, which is basically equates to only seeing the big E on the chart. Like, my vision was that bad. I had cataracts that bad. But they did a sedate. It was kind of like one of those awake, sedated procedures where you can't feel anything, but you're still awake.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the lens replacement. And I went from seeing 2200 to 2020 in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Like, and that's no exaggeration. I literally, like, I watched them change the lens.
Wow.
They told me, look up, look down, look left, look right, blink 3 times. Mm-hmm. And I was up, you know.
And how old were you when all this started? That, like, when that happened?
I was 2016. I was 34.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, I would be turning 35, like 2 months after this mm-hmm. point. Okay. So, October the 3rd happened, and, you know, obviously I'm seeing HD, I'm seeing blades of grass individually, I'm seeing like 400 yards away. Like, I mean, I'm like, how in the world did I live without seeing all this stuff?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And so it was beautiful. I mean, I'm reading the fine print on the television from, I mean, 30 feet away, and I'm just like, this is incredible. So time went on about a couple of weeks. And November the 5th came, and I was separated from my wife at the time, divorced now, but I was separated from my wife at the time, and that really hit me. I mean, ministry had failed, all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just really trying to find which way is up, you know, the same.
Yeah.
And I came into the house, I ended up staying with my mom for a while during the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still trying to get my family back and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up talking to her and just really, and I don't know what really inspired this level of transparency, but I just told her, I said, Mom, I stare death in the face every day and it scares the blank out of me.
Wow.
And when I heard myself say that, I leaned against the door frame of her bedroom door where I was standing. And I just sobbed, just deeply. I'm talking about from the waist down, like hunched over. And I mean, sobbing hard. And so she gets up, Mom does. She gets up, walks over to me, and she puts her arm around my shoulder, walks me over to the bed. We sit down and she starts praying over me.
Hmm.
And
I love a praying mom. Let me tell you what.
Listen, we ain't gonna live without them.
Are we products of praying moms or what?
Listen, that's a whole nother podcast episode. So, she's praying over me, right? And
yeah.
And I'm sobbing and snotting, and I'm like, no matter what, Lord, I'll do what you have me to do. No matter what. And then she's praying over me, new life, this and that.
Yeah.
10 days later, Nina, I woke up blind.
I remember when it happened. I was like, wait, what?
Later, yes.
Yeah.
Woke up pitch black. And
how and scary my sugar was that? Dropped at that? Were you like,
you know what? This is the most interesting to me part of my journey, because this was the start.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately the beginning to the end, because this is where I had to decide. Right. There's a uh-huh. difference between having a choice and making a decision.
Right.
When you look at decide, it's DE, which is to go over or move over from, and then side, which is the cut.
Uh-huh.
So to have a choice means I could pick one or the other. But when I make a decision, I'm cutting away the other option to where it does not exist to right. me anymore.
Right.
Right. So when I was sitting down, my blood sugar was low at that time, and my mom went and made me a bowl of ravioli. And that's why I say my first meal as a blind man was a bowl of ravioli.
Dang.
And I sat there at the table.
That's almost poetry.
Praise God. Well, I woke up because I woke up with my blood sugar dropping low, right? Mm-hmm. And when that happens, I go into like a dream, what I call a dream sequence mode, where things don't feel real. Mm-hmm. So I start doing things to try to convince myself I'm not in a dream. So I'll like jump into the wall or do something crazy like that. Like, I mean, I've done stupid things like that before to try to convince myself that I was awake. Yeah. And so this was one of those situations where I woke up, but it's still pitch black. And I'm like, this has never happened to me before.
Yeah.
In 34 years of life, I've never opened my eyes, sat up, and not been able to see anything.
Yeah.
Without having the blindfold on my face or the lights being off. Even with the lights off, I'm still able to see. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm slapping the wall. I'm like, oh my God, I can't see. And I'm slapping the wall. And my uncle, God rest his soul, Uncle Devin, when I was a child, he used to say, hey, Dan, what's the main thing? Mm-hmm. And I would have to say, don't panic. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, Nina, I slapped the wall and I was like, oh. And I heard, what's the main thing?
Wow. Yeah.
And I didn't say nothing out loud. I just went, And I just calmed down. And I went and sat down at the table. Mom brought me the bowl. As she was bringing me the bowl, I said, how am I going to do this?
Did you know? Like, were you like, I went blind?
Oh, I couldn't see. Yeah. It was like it had already happened. Like, the writing was on the wall, you know. And I sat there and I said, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about, how am I going to live blind?
Right.
Right. And I heard, the same way you always did, just with your eyes closed. And I said, and I sat there for about 5-6 seconds and I said, okay, just like that. And Mom brought the bowl. I took the fork. I stabbed the first piece of ravioli. I went to put it in my mouth. I hit the bottom of my chin. I went and attempted again, hit the top, my upper lip. Next one, made it in my mouth. Next couple times, had a couple of miscues. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I was able to eat the whole bowl without incident. And
were you given warning that you could lose your eyesight?
No. Zero. In fact, man, I don't want to take up too much time. In fact, they don't know why I lost my sight.
Interesting.
Still.
Frustrating.
And then the most frustrating thing is when someone concedes to an answer based off of just simple stereotype umbrellaing, or I don't know how to call it, when you basically can just put things into one genre or, mm-hmm. Well, he's diabetic, so diabetic retinopathy. That's what they did.
I see.
Like, they said first I had glaucoma. Then they said it was cataracts. Then they said it was diabetic retinopathy.
Interesting.
That came almost 5 months later.
Wow.
That diagnosis.
That's interesting. And so, well, I remember coming to see you in the hospital. And not to make this about me, but it's so funny because I wanted to bring you. You had told me I've lost my eyesight. Mm-hmm. And I felt a punch in the gut for you. That's so painful to know that someone you care about is taking such a big loss. Even when you play that game, like, would you rather go blind or go deaf? Everybody says, go deaf. Everybody says it.
Right.
Because what a thing to lose. What a key thing that we need. Life's already very hard, but at a minimum, if we could at least go ahead and get our eyesight, that's at a dirty minimum, right? But I wanted to go see you. You were in the hospital for a minute after that. And I was like, I'm going to get him a Discman because we were still carrying Discmans.
I remember that, yeah.
And I'm going to give him the Bible on CD. And I trekked that whole thing in there. And you were actually in a procedure when I got there. So I didn't even see you. But I walked into your room looking for you. And they had this piece of computer paper taped above your bed. And it said, patient cannot see. And I it hit my gut. I felt like I got the wind knocked out of me, and it was like just in big black, you know, generic letters, patient cannot see. And I was like, oh my God, like, oh, what, like, wow. Like,
yeah, it
was
like when it's real.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, he's in here trying to navigate a hotel room or a hotel room, we wish, a hospital room and procedures. And my friend that I have all these memories with, all these things where we're just romping around, he can't see now. It was real empathy for you, truly, in that moment. Yeah. And I left almost, I want to say almost like shook up by it. It just like, wow. Scared for you, you know? How's he going to go on? I remember what I felt. I remember what that room looked like. I remember the lighting. I remember reading that sign. It was like walking up to, I don't know, like it felt like a death sentence, honestly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Were you depressed in the beginning? Or did God just like immediately put you into like go mode?
It wasn't immediate. No, I can definitely say that. However, it wasn't as heavy initially as one would think. And I have to give God credit for that. It's one of those things to where
grace showed up for it. Like he was like, you're going to go through
this. Oh, absolutely. But
I love that. But I love when that happens.
But even before that, though, I believe God always prepares us to a measure before something happens, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Because he says that he would not give us more temptation than we can handle, but he'll offer to us all a measure or a way of escape, right? Wow. So when we look at the things that happen to us, it isn't always the thing that happens to us that matters. It's what is God going to use through this situation, right, to get the glory. Because when one scripture he took me to during this process, and this was I would say probably year three into being going blind, I wrote a song called 9/11. And, you know, the song was pretty simple. It was just like, you know, emergency call. He's always answers when I call him, always catch me when I'm falling, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to it. I recorded it in 2020. I wrote it while I was in that same nursing home you're talking about in 2018. Right. And so, because that's when you brought me, I think, that stuff. But.
Well, I know I didn't give you the Discman. I don't know why I didn't leave that because I just refound it.
They didn't have any
yesterday.
Remember?
Oh, I ordered it for you.
Yeah, you ordered for it, and it they didn't have it.
Either way, I ended up with
making CD players.
Yeah, that. Oh, that is.
Yeah, that was
okay. Wait, that is what it was. We were past CD time, but I don't think stuff was so. I don't know. Why did I do that?
No, you got it for me because we were right into the merge of going from, you know, disc to digital. And so
you're right.
That was the situation. But nonetheless,
But I just found, I think I accidentally ordered two of those Discmans. I think I gave you one and had already ordered another one. Either way, I have a Discman in a clear plastic container and I just refound it yesterday. And I thought the irony of it came tumbling out. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I should give it to somebody as a gift, right? Like, here you go.
Right.
Or should I just start using it? Should I take my walks with my dogs in the neighborhood and just like have a Discman blasting? Remember you'd go somewhere.
You're going to be annoyed by the shock absorber. You know how you had to like walk with that thing like all feathers. Like otherwise it's going to skip every 2 seconds. Oh my goodness, man. What we
I used to want to bring different CDs from. With me. Like, and so I'd put them like in my pockets. I never carry around like, in case I need a switch.
Okay, keep going. Gracious. Okay, yeah, no. So yeah, I wrote the song.
Oh, wait, you know what, Larry? So, I've lost you visually.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. My phone just said that my battery is getting ready to die. All right.
Perfect.
So, am I back?
You're back.
Okay, awesome. So I was listening to the song and I heard, what does 9/11 mean, Larry? And I said, well, an emergency call. It was not literally answering out loud. I'm in a room by myself. And it was quiet. And then I heard, read John 9/11.
Which, let me tell you now, what, Since you went blind, your memorization game is A plus, sir.
To God be the glory.
A plus.
Listen. Oh, praise God.
Jealous. Praise God. Goals. Hashtag Christian goals. Spiritual goals. scripture goals.
Got you. Yeah, so you said reading John 9:11. And I'm thinking like, all right, this is just some random scripture, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's going to say, and Jesus said, and it goes to verse 12, you know? And I'm like, all right, I'll listen to it later. So about 2 hours passed, I dozed off, you know, took a little nap, woke up. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to read that scripture. So I listened to the scripture, and it says, a man named Jesus approached me and made clay out of mud and anointed my eyes. He told me to wash in the pool of Shalom, and I went and washed in the pool of Shalom, and I received my sight.
Wow.
That's the entire verse of John 9:11.
Woo.
The one that I thought was going to be three words, that's it, and Jesus said. No, it was the testimony of a man that was born blind.
Yeah.
So I go to the, so I sat up for one. I sat up like, oh my goodness. Sat up like the Undertaker. Like, oh my goodness, what? So I'm looking, listen to me. So I'm looking around. I'm literally, my head is going from left to right. Like, oh my goodness, like what in the world? So I go to the top of the chapter and it says, Jesus heals the man born blind. Now I had never to my cognitive knowledge, ever read John chapter 9. I did not know that's what that chapter was about.
Wow.
Not only was it about that, that was what the entire chapter was about.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so what he said was, what ended up happening was in John 9:2, he said Peter, I believe it was, asked Jesus, who sinned that the man be born blind, the father, the mother, or the child? And Jesus said in verse 3, no one sinned that this happened, but it happened this way that the works of God would be made manifest through him.
Whoa.
When I say, Nina, in 2019, before I recorded that song, I was sitting on my porch on Milford Avenue in Columbus, Ohio, and I heard, I'm going to heal your entire body for a testament to my glory. The same voice that I was hearing all these other times when it came to pass that ended up being the Lord. I still, when I heard it, didn't know to believe it. Because, you know, I mean, you're blind. So you thinking, yeah, this is me optimistically thinking,
yeah,
in order for me from wanting to blow my head off, I'm going to believe that God's going to heal me, right?
Yeah.
But then at the same time,
that's right,
I'm a realist. And so I don't want to be walking around just deceiving myself, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when I read that scripture and he said the works of this happened this way so that the works of God would be made manifest through him, then that showed me that I did not go blind for nothing.
Wow.
That shows me that I went blind unexpectedly so that the doctors cannot explain why I went blind and how it came back.
I just can't even tell you how, dare I even say positive, you have been, it feels like since the beginning. If you had a down period, I wouldn't know because you didn't show it. You have just continued to profess the name of the Lord through this, to thank him continuously. To call you optimistic would be demeaning because it was bigger than that. Wow. You were so deeply rooted in your faith when this happened that you were not shaken, and it did something for me. I can't even tell you, because then I'd be going through trials, large or small, and during your season of this happening, I was also simultaneously going through the worst time of my life, and yeah, you would put it into perspective for me, and I think, look at what he's carrying. And his attitude is so good. You encouraged me. You edified me through your choices in that. I hope you know that. You have taken this.
I'm getting choked up, man. I really appreciate this feedback. I mean, I don't do it for that.
Yeah.
But when you hear, and that's the importance about bearing fruit.
Yeah.
You know, is that people need to be able to eat from you. And
when Jesus used that example of the barren fig tree, when he cursed that tree that didn't have any figs on it,
yeah,
it's because he came up to it because he had a need. Mm-hmm. And the tree was advertising, I have the answer to your need.
Yeah.
But when he approached the tree and there was nothing there but leaves only, he said, cursed are you, and no one will eat from you again.
Wow.
And so when I look at those types of things, I'm not going to say that that was like 100% like my focus.
Mm-hmm.
But when something has been your lifestyle for so long, and this is good or bad,
mm-hmm.
it's not very easy to erase. And so when scripture says those whose mind is kept on Christ, or it's kept on him, is kept in perfect peace in Isaiah, it's true. Because if he is peace and he says, live in me and let my words live in you, then what atmosphere should we expect?
That's right. Well, I just listened to somebody else's podcast last week, and they had a guest on who had gotten to a real serious car accident, and she lost most of her body movement, I believe. Definitely one of her arms, one of the movement, one of her arms.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she was not a Christian and was, you know, kind of talking about what life looked like now. And it was sad. It was depressing. She was really being candid, but speaking how it was hard for her to want to keep going, and she found it real hard to find inspiration. It was a depressing episode, honestly. And the drastic difference between you and her, it's not comparable. And it's like, that's what having the source of hope, the Lord living in your life, that's what happens. He even takes the tragedy, and you're able to say, okay, then I'm going to suffer this through your will. I have to say, through my tragedies, I did not hop into that role as fast as you have. It was like you almost didn't miss a beat. I remember us speaking, and I'd hang up and I'd be like, he's amazing. I don't know how he's just like, hey, that's okay. This is what we're dealing with now. And you're not fake. You're honest. You're saying, I'm struggling. This is hard. This hurts. I've been in the hospital. It's not fun. I'm having a bad day. But your spirit still has soundness to it, where you are unfazed big picture. You might not feel great that day, but you are still professing the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, I praise God for that. And really, that's one of my major motivations, is to bring that out of you, is to help you find and reach your purpose. And the Lord, through this process, has revealed to me even deeper than I thought I knew before who I am.
That's right.
And so the two statements that I make is, I didn't gain my vision until I lost my sight. And the second one is, my purpose didn't change just because my circumstance did.
Woo! Say it again.
My purpose did not change just because my circumstance did. And the reality is that until you know who you are,
right,
you will spend your entire life trying to find that out.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and even if you never find it out, a lot of people, they just settle for just any type of lifestyle and call it their purpose.
What would you say to somebody right now who is struggling in their life, where they would say this is a struggle season? Doubt they've lost their eyesight, tell you that. But how about somebody who's just going through it, large or small? What would you say? What life would you speak over that?
I would say, welcome to life. like, for real, congratulations.
It's dumpster fire. Welcome.
Hey, congratulations. You're not dead. Like, that's what I'll say to that in short. But for those that are dealing with struggles, I mean, it's really a matter of perspective.
Like, quit feeling bad for yourself, right? This is what this is.
Well, see, this is the thing, though. It's not even saying that you're not allowed to feel bad about it,
right?
Because you do have emotions. What I'm suggesting is not to be led by said emotions and not to let the
quote unquote struggle determine your pursuit.
Well, don't you think when people go through tragedies, it's real tempting for it to become your identity? Like, this is now this title I hold, and this is what I go through. Even with ailments now, people really want to identify with, and this is going to be a bit of a hot topic, so, you know, don't get too offended with me, but people will really take on their ailments. Like, they really want to identify with, like, ADD or ADHD or, you know, wanting to be autistic now, or wanting to being fascinated with their food preferences, or, you know, their allergies and stuff. And it's like they take this identity, and it's like, we're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have that outside of that.
Right. Well, you know, that I think what attributes to that is a lot of times we gravitate more toward, or should I say, away from pain.
Yeah.
Right. And like I said, sometimes it hurts so bad that it feels good. It's like, it's not even that I don't even think people don't want to be better. Mm-hmm. I think people don't know how, so they just become comfortable with where they are, right? And people fear, naturally fear what they don't know.
Yeah, that's good. That's really true.
And that's what's called walking in darkness, because we're lacking understanding or information, and that's what causes us to remain stagnant or go the opposite way. So I think that's why a lot of people hate struggle, you know, because the perspective says this is too difficult to endure because it doesn't feel good.
That's right. I had somebody that I know one time say to me, he was in a really bad chapter of his life, just a lot of bad things, and it was on the ups. And things were getting ready to turn around, and there were things on the other side, and he was moving. And he said, you know, the last couple of weeks, I've really been thinking about how hard I've struggled and how bad the last couple of years are. And he said, I'm starting to now see light at the end of the tunnel, and all of a sudden there's appreciation for the struggle. All of a sudden, and he goes, almost to the point where I think I'm going to miss it. And I thought, you know, we're supposed to come at the other end with that perspective. It's not supposed to stay forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It stuck with me.
Right.
I remember it stuck with me.
Well, that's a beautiful perspective too. And really it reminds me, not to give just a random plug, but during this process, the Lord has shown me how I can be in impact despite my physical situation. And during this process, I started writing books, started developing coaching programs, because there's more people out here than just me that's going through situations that change right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's what happens now that I'm labeled as disabled. Yeah. What happens now that I'm given the identity of handicapped, right? So it's like the element of pride kind of jumps in too, because it's like, all right, I don't want you to look at me as handicapped. I don't want you to look at me as disabled. And that becomes a motivation for people to want to endure and overcome and this, that, and the third. But that only lasts so long because you're doing it out of your own effort.
Yeah, that's right.
And so Matthew 19:26, Jesus says, with men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when I cross-reference that to Philippians 4:13, that says, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. This is not an allowance to do whatever you want to do. It's just letting you know that if God tells you to do something, if he's with you, regardless if you think you can do it or not, you can do it.
That's good.
Because he can't fail.
Yeah, people need to hear that. I think in my lowest of valleys too, do you feel like when you're going through fundamental struggles, right? Not just small ones, but large ones like this, that certain things are said to you that just stick, whether it be from the Bible, whether somebody say it to you, whether it's an inspiration you get, and it pivots the way you think. Did you have those moments too? Like they're fundamental moments of clarity just through whatever, something that's said or done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all have we all get those moments, those bullet point moments, to where they're like moments of impact. And one that I would say probably is one that I stand by, as well as I try to as well teach, is my mentor would say,
you can't separate the lifestyle from the consequence of that lifestyle.
Wow.
And so it's a principle.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, if you pour water on a table, the table's going to get wet. It's principle. Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter who did it.
It's physics.
Doesn't matter. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if it was you. Doesn't matter if it was me. It's actually and I think it's like quantum physics or something like that, to where a principle always reproduces of itself. So basically, if I apply this system, anybody can use this system and it'll work. It'll give the same result.
Wow.
Like, that's what happens in life. And so what the Lord has shown me is how to do that, how to develop programs that work for everybody.
Wow, that's really good.
And so one of the that I have on this topic, and we're probably gonna have to cut because I think my device is getting ready to crap out on me, but it's called, one of the programs called Unforgiveness Events and Emotion, and it helps you understand empathy, one, and two, what makes people do what they do, right? So it's kind of like in almost an analysis of social behavior, and why people treat us, or maybe why people treat us the way that they did. Hmm. And it teaches us how to look at situations that happen to us from a different lens. And then I have another one that's called Alive or Living. And this is talking about actually recognizing who you are despite what's happened to you, and knowing that there's still more for you to do, and you're still built to accomplish it because that's why you were made. So it's more than just being alive, but we actually have to live. So it's life is growth, reproduction, physical activity, and maturity. So as we develop those portions of our lives, we're still able to live productive lives and have a life of impact despite what people say we can't do.
It's really good. Right? People need to hear that. Something that T.D. Jakes said one time is that made my mind kind of pivot, is he said, when you are discouraged, when you are without in a certain area, do not wake up that day and fester on what you don't have. Instead, you thank God for what is working in your life, even if it's, Lord, thank you that my legs work. Thank you that my eyesight works. Thank you that I have the right frame of mind. He said, thank you that I can count my own money. Thank you that I can still think straight. And it hit me so hard. And I was like, he's right.
Yeah.
Thank you that I live in the country that I live in. Thank you that I have this person in my life. And you just speak life over the things that you feel like that you're without.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes. I love it. I love it. And I think that's a great addition to this conversation, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to spend my inhale exhaling complaints.
Wow. That's good. Let's do a closing.
Yeah.
And then we can edit it to the closing just in case your device dies. But then we can talk after that. And then we could edit that in the middle if we needed to.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's already gave me the under 10% warning.
Okay. Okay. So it's giving me a warning. Okay, Larry, where can people find you?
Well, right now, my website is under construction. Vision Over Limits LLC is the company that I started. And visionoverlimits.org is currently under construction right now. But in the meantime, Facebook has been the most consistent place to be able to find me. Larry Daniel Howard Jr. is my personal profile page, as well as Larry D. Larry D E E is my speakers page as well, which I'm actually developing more on that. But also I'm on TikTok at Mr. Larry D, and Instagram at Mr_LarryD as well.
Excellent. And, thank you for that. Yeah. I am gonna give all my guests a closeout question. Do you want a fun question or a serious question?
You can give me whatever you want. Let's go.
You pick. Which one?
Let's go fun.
You want to go fun?
We had so much fun, but we've been serious too.
We'll do fun.
We'll do fun.
Okay, what's your favorite Christian song from the 90s?
Favorite Christian song from the 90s? Woo!
Or just one you love. Or an old Christian song you love.
An old Christian song I love? I'm not sure if this is from... I think this is from the 90s, okay. But... Hillsong.
Oh. I thought you were going to go more like pop Christian, but okay.
Well, you know, there's so many that I could pick from, but I'm not sure if they're...
Who did you love?
...90s. Oh,
did man, you like...
Fred Hammond, Marvin Winans, let me see, who... I mean, like I said, I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to, like, Christian music, I guess. But I'm more into...
Were you listening to DC Talk?
No. Not really. No, I wasn't. It wasn't that I didn't...
Why not?
Like them. I just, it wasn't, it's one of those things. You're kind of like you're a product of your environment. So it's one of those things that, like, if it isn't available, you don't access it.
What are you trying to say? What do you mean DC Talk wasn't available?
Nina, you're trying to get me in trouble. Hey.
I ain't listening to DC Talk.
We'll just put it that way.
You weren't listening to I Don't Want It, Want It. I Don't Want It, Want It. Sex for Now.
The funny thing is that the only song I remember, and this might not even been DC Talk, it might have been Skillet. But it's like, why don't you skillety? I don't want to see your face around here no more. I don't know. Like, you are the devil and the devil is bad. Right.
That was W's. That was the W's.
Was it? Okay.
It was Scott.
Okay, see? There you go.
You are the devil and the devil is bad. Hey, you are the devil and the devil is bad. You are the devil and you are bad. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah.
You didn't listen. What do you mean? You didn't listen to, like, Jesus Freak or the song that's like, do, yeah, do, I mean, do, would, do, do, listen, do, do.
I would listen to it if it was being played.
Okay.
So that's my thing. Like, that only happened at youth group.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
And
what about the Christian group Anointed? Did you ever listen to them?
My parents did.
Send out a prayer, a cry for heaven. Do you remember that song?
I don't. Sorry.
Were you even saved in the
90s? You know what?
If you didn't listen to DC Talk in the 90s, were you even saved? I don't think so.
I think I was like, I don't know, man. Maybe I was the lukewarm you were talking about. I don't know.
DC Talk is the bar of, like, how strong your walk of God is.
I mean, you know what? I can't even fight you on that because that's pretty accurate. That's actually pretty accurate. Okay. Franklin.
Right, but I said CD. I said CD to honor his roots. Oh, he had that. And with that, we thank you, Larry, for being on the Heart Conviction Podcast. Follow and like and subscribe to us. And would you please do me a favor? Will you share this podcast with somebody right now? Will you send it to them and just say, hey, give it a little listen if you would. I love you. I'm here. We're praying for you. We're going to have Larry on again. And we will be back together soon. Okay, friend. Thanks. Bye.